This is a message I preached before, which I don't often preach the same message before, but this is what the Lord led me to speak about today. And it's Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 35 says, "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." You could bow your heads with me one more time. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that utterance will be given. Lord, that the words will be your words. Lord, that they will encourage, uplift, Lord, and bless, Lord Jesus, the hearers, Lord God. We ask, Lord, for a mighty move of your Spirit today. Lord, a word that will be powerful in our souls and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, shake someone's hand and tell them, "Give me my mountain." Amen. Give me my mountain. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, that doesn't sound like something we should want. You know, when we talk about mountains, we think of trials and we think of tests. We would rather be in the valley where there's water and there's streams and there's all kinds of nice things. And we don't often think about a mountain as being something that we want, because a mountain is usually a high place, rocky. There's winds, there's snow, and there's ice. So normally it's not something that we look forward to. But you find in the Bible that God's people looked at mountains in different ways than we look at them. They looked at them as places where they were closer to their Creator. You know, that's why they built all of the worship places on the high places, because on the mountaintops, because that's where you can get away. Sometimes in the valley, it's a little bit crowded. Sometimes in the valley, we get a little bit too comfortable. But when you're on the mountaintop, there's probably no one else with you but you. It's your turn to get closer to God. And we see in this scripture in Daniel that he saw a vision. And in the last days, he said he saw a rock cut out of a piece of a mountain. And it destroyed the world kingdoms, the images of the world kingdoms. And it says that the wind came and carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone smote the image and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You know, as I said, that's not something that we normally want to ask God for. Give me a mountain. What we want is a nice flat area where we don't have to work. We don't have to climb. There's no effort. We want to be led into the beside the still waters with the green pastures. But there is a place for a mountain experience that God wants us to sometimes go through. You see, if you look in the Bible, it's just like clouds. Our aspect and our looking at things is opposite to God's, because the mountain was a place of escape. Genesis 19:30, where did Lot escape from? He escaped up into the mountains. Did you know that your mountain can be your place of escape? The Bible says that Jesus would leave the disciples, and where would he go? He went up into the mountain. Sometimes it's the mountaintop experience where you're just by yourself. It's a climb. It's a trial. But that's where you're supposed to be. We find that it's a hiding place. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 22, we found it's where the two spies hid out. Sometimes when you go into the mountain, that's where the devil and all the people who are trying to harass you can't find you. You have to get into the secret place, up into the mountain where no one else can find you. See, we don't want to ask God for the mountain. We want the nice valley. But I want to show you a different way of looking at the mountain. We find that the mountaintop is a place of sacrifice. It's where in Genesis, God told Abraham to take his son up to the mountain. "I'm going to show you a mountain where you're going to have to do some sacrifice." Yes, the mountain is a place of sacrifice. But still, give me my mountain. If that's what God's got for you, a mountaintop experience, then you need to embrace it. Because with that mountaintop experience will come some blessing, will come some deliverance, will come a hiding place, will come an experience, will come a growth that just staying in the valley can't do for you. Come on, can I hear an amen? Amen. Sometimes all we want is by the still, quiet waters. Sometimes we need that. But if we look at the life of Jesus, he knew when it was time to leave his disciples and go up to the mountain. Amen. Do you know the mountain can be a place of victory? Yes, it's a place of temptation. We see in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, where did the devil take him? Bible says up into a high mountain. Up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. You see, sometimes from the mountain you can see what's going on around you. But that's the test. You can't give in. You have to let the word of the Lord, the written word, come to your mind. And you have to use that to overcome your mountaintop experience. You have to get some, it is written in your soul. Be able to quote a scripture, a promise to the devil. He shall never leave me nor forsake me. Even when you're on your mountaintop alone. Come on now, give me your mountain. Let's hear you say it. Amen. I don't think you'd said it enthusiastically, but by the end of this message, what I want to show you, that it's where God can find you and meet you and bless you. Jesus knew the secret of going up into the mountain. Amen. You'll find it's a place of revelation. It's where Moses went up into the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. It was up on Mount Sinai that he came into the presence of Almighty God. It was up on Mount Sinai that he got hid in the cleft of the rock. Sometimes that mountaintop experience is the place where you can get revelation, where God can get you by yourself. You know, when you're in the nice green pastures, you're not worried about stuff. You're not even thinking about praying. You're not even thinking about getting close to God. But when you're on that mountaintop and there's no one else there and the wind is starting to howl and the rain is coming down, you want to be hid in that cleft of the rock. You need to get closer to God. You need to find that cleft of the rock. You got to have that relationship, because it's on the mountaintop you'll find where revelation was given. See, you may not think right now that that's a good place. But there's a few people in the Bible knew how to call out, give me my mountain. It's a place of prayer. In Matthew 14, 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Because no one else wants to go with you up that mountain. Sometimes when you're in a trial, no one else wants to go in there with you. But it's the place where God can get you alone to pray. To seek his will. It's when you're in that mountain trial, when you're going through some things, when the rock is hard to climb, it's cutting your fingers, that you need a friend. You need to start seeking God. It may be your mountain is sickness, Priscilla, but if you will say, God, I accept where you have put me. Maybe your mountain is finances. Maybe your mountain is work. Maybe your mountain is family situation. But there's someone in the Bible who said, give me my mountain. Amen. It was a place of planting and victory. Exodus 15, verse 17. It says, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mount of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in, the sanctuary, O Lord, which thou hast, thy hands have established. We'll find that the temple was built upon a mountain, a high place. See, the mountain is where you really meet God. In the valley, when things are going good, you don't have no need to pray. You have no need to be seeking God. But when you're on the mountaintop, when things are hard, when you look down and it's way down, who's afraid of heights? Amen. I'm afraid of heights. Amen. I remember when we put the ladder all the way up to the very top there to hang these speakers, I went up there real slowly. Amen. You know, that would have been the time to sing the song, Nearer My God to Thee. But we find in the scripture that unlike what we think, the mountain place is a place where you can grow, where you can get closer to God, where you can see some things that when you're in the valley, you didn't see. When things are going good, you don't see the fact that there are some trouble ahead. But when you're on the mountaintop, you can see where God has brought you from. You can see the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. We see that there was this young man in the Bible. His name was Caleb. Joshua 14, verse 6. And it says, then the children of Judah came into Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. See, he was a descendant of Jephunneh, who was of the tribe of Judah. And God had promised them that when they go into Canaan, he was going to give them some land. I don't know, as a young man growing up, he may have thought, well, Let me see now. I'm going to have the well-watered plains of Hebron, where it's all green and grass and everything is so easy. But that wasn't God's plan for his life. It says in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10, that when he came into the promised land, it turned out that his inheritance was up in a mountain. But do you think Joshua, who was only one of the two that made it all the way from Egypt, was anyway discouraged? Do you think he was let down because his inheritance was a mountain? You know, you think you're going to inherit the nice farmlands, but your inheritance is a mountain. No, because he knew something about this place that we need to learn today about giving us the mountain. Here's what he said, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Here, that's the first thing. He was grateful. When you're on a mountaintop, just be grateful that you've gotten up that far. When you wake up tomorrow, just be grateful. You may still be climbing up a mountain, but you can be grateful. He said, look, I am thanking God because the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am. He spent 45 years wandering around in the desert, coming to the land of Canaan to find out his inheritance is a mountain. But you think he was the kind of person who would start to get upset and angry with God? Oh, no, not Caleb. Here I am this day. He's 85 years old now. Been wandering around for 45 years. But here's what he says. He declared some things, and yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And here's verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this. How many of us are going to be wandering in the desert, come to find out our inheritance is a mountain, and have this kind of attitude? Can you believe the Lord was pleased with Caleb? I don't hear you. Do you believe the Lord was pleased with Caleb? When will we get the attitude, okay, I'm going to claim my mountain. I'm not going to run from the enemy, but I'm going to go straight up. Amen? Because it's on the mountaintop that you need to get to your promised land. This was inheritance. When they came into Canaan, it wasn't just a land flowing with milk and honey. They had to fight. Do you know that this spiritual journey is a fight? You have to claim your mountain. You have to say, despite the enemy, I'm going to claim my mountain. Joshua said, I've been running around the desert. I've come into Canaan. But you know what? I declare that I'm as strong now as I was 45 years ago. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. You see, that was faith. I don't know what you're all facing. I'm sure you all have some mountains. But I want you to look at them differently today. Don't look at them as a trial and, oh my goodness, we're going to have to climb this mountain. He said in verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in the day. For you heard in the day how the Anakim were there. Now, this wasn't just a mountain, an empty mountain. This wasn't just some ordinary mountain. But there were some giants that lived in this mountain. It wasn't enough that it was just a big mountain. But the mountain was inhabited by giants. They called them Anakims. Anakims. And the cities were great and fortified. This area was a mountainous area. And the cities had walls. And this is God said, here, Caleb, this is your inheritance. You know what this tells us today? We have an inheritance, but we have to fight for it. Let me say it again. We have a spiritual inheritance, but the devil is not just going to walk out just because you say Jesus' name. You're going to have to claim your mountain. You're going to have to declare, I'm as strong now as I was when I first got saved, because the Spirit of the Lord is with me. Amen. Let's say it. Give me my mountain. That's what Caleb said. He said that the mountain was possessed by giants. Do you think that scared him? No. Now, when you think about this, and I don't know how many of you remember this when I preached it, we find out, we know what Joshua's name means, right? He shall save. And there's also some great names in the Bible. But here we come to find out that Caleb, anyone remember what his name means? Okay, I'm glad I preached it. His name means dog. His name means, you see something here that even though people had named him a dog And he had been given inheritance of a mountain which was full of giants. That was not going to let it be the end of it. It's not what people call you. It's what God calls you. It's what God calls you. They may say you may not amount to a hill of beans, or you're stupid, or you're not going to have anything in life, or you don't have anything. They may call you a dog. That's what Caleb means. We don't know the story of why he was named that, but he had the determination of a pit bull. He had the bravery of a German shepherd. And he had the fierceness of a Doberman Pinscher. He said, "Give me my mountain." Amen. I don't care if the world wants to call you dog or stupid or ugly or whatever. It's not what the world calls you, but it's what Jesus calls you. You see, in the New Testament, we find somebody who was also kind of by innuendo called a dog. Matthew 15:22. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Mercy on me, O Lord, the son of David.' She had a daughter that was sick, and she came to Jesus. 'And my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word." See, sometimes when you're in the mountain, just the wind is blowing, because it's a testing place. It's a trial place. It's a place where you have to determine and make up your mind you're going to stay up there. You don't get up the mountain by accident. You have to determine, "Give me my mountain. Because it's in the promised land, it's my inheritance, therefore I claim it." Amen. We see this lady was not even a Jew, she was a Gentile. But she had determined that her daughter was going to be healed. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.'" She wasn't being quiet. She was determined to get her mountain, the healing for her daughter, done. Even though Jesus at first ignored her, she held on and kept on making a big noise. So the disciples said to Jesus, "Please do something about her." Then came she and worshiped him. Do you see the faith of this lady? She came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Ooh. When the pastor says that, that's the last time I'm coming to that church. That's the last time I'm... Did he call me a name? Did he say I was a sinner? Did he say I needed to repent? Jesus called this lady a dog. Do you think she was going to give up? No, that was the mountain of pride that she had to climb over. See, sometimes our mountain is something to do with us and our nature and our character that God wants to humble. Come on now, let's say, "Give me my mountain." But let's turn, you know the story, what happened. When she said, "Is it not meat?" Jesus said, "It's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she answered, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Jesus only said two things about two people, and they were both not Jews. The centurion and this lady said he had not seen such great faith. "O woman, great is thy faith." It's going to take some faith to claim your mountain. But if you're determined, if you're made up, if you've been told it's your inheritance, that God has given it to you, you can take the mountain. You see, Caleb was one of the two spies who came back with a good report. Everybody said, "Oh no, we can't take this land. It's full of giants and they're huge and they're bigger than us and they're mighty warriors." Caleb said, "Oh no, we are more than able." See, when you understand who is fighting with you, when you understand who has promised you the mountain, you say, "Give me my mountain, because I'm as strong now as I was 45 years ago." Amen. Now, remember what they called Caleb. They called him dog. That was what Caleb meant. I don't know if it meant a good name. Now, you know, sometimes now people say dog, they mean in a good way. But I don't believe it was that way then. See, that was a put down. You're not going to amount to anything. You're worthless. That's the name that the devil would like to put on you. God isn't listening to you. You're not even worthy for anything. But the woman said, "But even the dogs eat the crumbs." I'm telling you today that you can claim your mountain. You see, it doesn't matter what the world says. The only name that matters is what God calls you. And if he calls you servant, if he calls you child of God, if he calls you my beloved, if he says you're mine, then that's the only name you need to answer to today. Let me show you something about Caleb and his relationship with God. Numbers 14:24. See what God calls him? He doesn't call him Caleb, but in the Hebrew, he calls him Ebed, which means my servant. When God calls you his servant, you can claim no matter what mountain you face, whether it's got some giants in there, whether their cities are fortified. But when he calls you servant, you have a new name. The Bible says we have a new name that is written in heaven. Hallelujah. We've got a new name, and it's Jesus. Amen. It's Yeshua, because he said he was going to write his name upon our forehead, because he's called us faithful and chosen. He's got some new names for us that are different than the name you were given by the world. Your name could be worthless. It could be dog. It could be stupid. Whatever the world wants to put on you, you don't have to accept it. Because here in Numbers 14:24, Jehovah Jireh, God Most High, called Caleb my servant, because he had another spirit with him and hath fully followed me fully. Here's the key. Caleb made it all the way from Egypt, all the way to the promised land. One of two people out of thousands, maybe millions, that did, because he followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed. God gave him a promise. Caleb, your seed's going to possess this area. So Caleb was able to say, okay, come on, bring it on. Give me my mountain. I don't care if there's giants there. I don't care if I'm 85. The Lord has brought me all the way out of Egypt, and I'm going to claim this mountain. It's time for us to claim our mountain. Don't back down from the devil. The Bible says submit to God, right? And resist the devil, and he shall what? He shall flee. It's time to say, amen. I don't know what your mountain is. You may have some trials in life that you have hidden that no one else knows about. It may be filled with some giants, spiritual giants, some things trying to take you down. But what I want to encourage you today is you need to get like Caleb. No matter what the world has named you, God may have named you servant. He may have named you son of God. He may, through the Holy Spirit, the Bible says we are his beloved. Amen. See, Caleb's story is so fascinating. It's so fascinating because Moses gave him a promise. If we go to Joshua chapter 14, verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because, is a condition, thou hast wholly, that means totally, followed the Lord my God. 40 years Caleb was in the desert with the children of Israel. 40 years earlier, they had left Egypt. And now he's coming into the promised land, the land that had been flowing with milk and honey, and he's been given a mountain. But that did not deter him. That did not faze him. He said, bring it on. Give me my mountain. Because I'm as strong now through faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit as I was when I started this journey. You see, it's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. The Lord kept me alive these 45 years. Amen. And he's going to give me my mountain. See, your inheritance, your victory may be on the very place that you're scared of. The very thing that is bothering you, whether it's finances, sickness, family, the very mountain you're facing, you're scared of it. You need to face that mountain. You need to claim that mountain. Psalms 48, verse 1. You see, the mountain is the place of deliverance. The mountain is the sanctuary. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Micah 4, verse 1, but in those days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. Where? In the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And I, John, saw the new Jerusalem adorned as a bride coming down. It's going to be on a mountaintop. Better get over your fear of heights, because he dwelleth in a high and lofty place. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wings. Let's stand today. Let's stand today. Micah chapter 4, verse 2. See, the New Jerusalem is not in any valley. It's nice to be in the valley at times. But I'm telling you where the dwelling place is. I'm telling you where the power and the victory is. It's on the mountaintop. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. In the book of Daniel, the first scripture I read, he saw the five world ruling kingdoms during the end times. But you know what happened? He said he saw a stone cut out of a mountain. And it came and it smashed all of the world ruling kingdoms in the feet. And it grew into a mountain. We need to embrace the thing we're running from and claim it. Like Caleb. Doesn't matter what they have named you. If God names you servant, you are more than able to conquer. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? And it names all the height, depth, tribulation, stuff. Nothing. If you've got God on your side, it doesn't matter if you're facing some giants. If they have come and claimed your mountain. You need to be like Jacob and said, I'm as strong now, spiritual as I was when I first got saved. I'm going to take this mountain. Bring me and give me my mountain. We're going to close this service. But if you will look at your life right now and the things that you're facing, the hills you got to climb, the things that you're scared of right now, there may be some giants you're facing. But God is telling you, listen, the very thing you're afraid of, you need to go and possess it. You need to go take it away from Satan. You need to get like Caleb and say, give me my mountain, because I'm going to be a warrior for the Lord. Amen. I'm submitted to God, so I'm going to make the devil flee. And do you know, in the end, Joshua and Caleb, they took over the promised land. Caleb built cities in the mountain, and his seed possessed it as an inheritance. God will fulfill his word. But there was a condition. He was only one of two that had fully, wholly, the scripture says, followed God. He sold out. He said, I'm going to trust God no matter what. Even if there are giants coming down towards me. Lord, I believe you rather than the devil. I open up this altar today. If you need a little bit of faith, so you can get to the place and say, give me my mountain. God wants to make you his servant. Just as how that Gentile woman came to Christ. She wasn't a Jew. She had nothing to expect, but she had faith. And she said, even the dogs, no matter what they've called you, even the dogs get to eat of the table. And Jesus looked at her and said, your faith